There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be. It's better
over here. AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Ready to start talking to your kids about financial literacy? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app that teaches kids and teens how to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest with your guardrails in place. Parents can send instant money transfers, automate allowance, and more. Plus, keep an eye on spending with real-time notifications. Join more than 6 million families building healthy financial habits together on Greenlight. Get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey. That's greenlight.com/odyssey.
Sabres Live is presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
1:26 to go in the Sabres power play. Short side attack scores! J.J. Paterka! Played back to the point. McLeod gets it back again. Far circle, one-timer scores! Byram! We're in the offensive zone here to start it off. It was Byram on the blue line. Takes the shot. That one's right at the line! Scores! There it is! The quick start again! Buffalo Sabres with a 3-1 lead and back on the offense again. Right in front! The puck is on the line or just ahead of it. Now it's in the net. Referee says we got a good goal. Tage Thompson crashed the net. Thompson across. Paterka scores! What a pass. What a finish. 5-1 Buffalo.
Much-needed win for the Sabres last night against the Sens. Up next, it's the New York Rangers, which will undoubtedly be a more daunting task, all due respect to the Sens, but we know where the Rangers have stood in the standings now for a number of years. Marty, it is a day where, you know, I think there are a lot of obvious takeaways from last night, and we definitely dove in pretty extensively on the postgame show last night. I think because of where we are in the calendar and the standings and what have you, probably not, you know, not necessary to dwell on one win. I'm looking at it more as to like what is sustainable here moving forward. So I'm going to present you with this.
Okay.
What is more sustainable? Top line scoring. Mm. Because that's really generating the bulk of the offense.
Yes. And,
but you have to keep in mind, like, can it happen almost every single night? Offense from the defense, star goaltending, or physicality? Which is more sustainable?
Oh, I'd love to say all of the above, Duffer. You got to put E as all of the above. And usually in school, when all of the above is presented to you, that's because that's the answer. Mm-hmm. But, okay. Well, I almost feel like I got to break it all down. Like, you know, because
it should be pretty easy, I think.
Well, okay. Like, I'll ask you. I'll turn the question around and I'll say, present me with your answer. And then I'll try to see if I can align myself with it, just because I don't think it's that obvious.
I need more options.
You need more options. I just said I want the all of the above option, but okay. I think physicality.
No, but I would never. I wouldn't say all of the above because I don't believe they're all sustainable at this point. They need to show this in a much longer sample size for me to believe that it's all sustainable. Okay, and I'm not trying to be a downer here. I'm trying to say like what is going to be more likely to be the norm. I mean, I think based on how the last 50 games went last year, I would say goaltending. Because I think Lukanen is the most capable of this. But
yes,
I think you maybe understand where my concern is. And it's like, take the win and move on. Yes, I'm taking the win and I'm moving on. But I need to see more from the Cousins line.
Yeah, the Cousins line is definitely the question mark, but I think that's looking at it as the flip side of things, right? What was good in the game last night? The Thompson line, that was good. Paterka, mm-hmm. Tuck Thompson, they were buzzing, not just on the rush. They were in the zone, spending time in the zone. Long shifts of possession in zone. That's great. Offense from the defense. We all know Powers had a really good start to the year offensively. We all know Dahlin has all the abilities to be a point-of-game defenseman, if everything falls into place. Byram has been on the attack, spending more time, I think, in the offensive zone below the dots than above the dots. Like, that's what he's doing. So I think that's very sustainable. You mentioned the goaltending with Luukkonen. I just pulled some numbers. Luukkonen, in the last 11 games where he's had to make 37 saves or more, which is the number he made yesterday, 37, which he did against the Pittsburgh Penguins earlier in the year in an overtime loss. He had 37 saves. He's 9-0-2 in his last 11 games where he's had to make 37 or more.
The problem with my historical brain is a lot of goaltenders fall into that category.
They do, because usually they get into a rhythm. But does that mean you can trust Luukkonen to be in a position where you're going to give up 35 and he'll shine?
Well, they don't want that, so it's not sustainable. And they showed last year they didn't give up that many shots, and they've shown this year they don't give up that many shots. So it's an anomaly. The norm is going to be, how can he be a star performer when it's a 25-30 shot game, which is what we would expect.
But I look at the first period from yesterday, when the shots in the first period were 13-10. It's not crazy to give up 13 shots in a period, right? It's like, it'd be mid-30s, but it's not crazy. 10-13, and he makes a couple of big saves, a 1-2 on Noah Gregor. So I'm looking at not so much the whole game, but parts of the game that are, okay, this is exactly what Lindy Ruff mentioned when he said, we're going to need bigger saves. We're going to need bigger saves. We need everybody to raise their standard. Everybody that Lindy Ruff has asked for checked the box. And you mentioned top line, that box was checked because Paterka is back with Thompson and Tuck. They did that. Scoring from the blue line, they checked that box. I think physicality, and I love physicality, I'm going to say that is one that I don't want to say it's out of your control, but you have to have a team that is going to engage in that physicality back and forth. Ottawa last night engaged in that physicality with the Sabres. And I thought that because of that, like if Greenway hits Stützle and nothing happens.
But there was hitting before the Greenway thing. That's what needs to be established. And I think Buffalo was the aggressor. So I don't know if I buy the argument that it takes two to do this. Like if you want to go out and hit somebody, go out and hit somebody.
But I
show that you're
actually
into the game, which is what Lindy was kind of saying. Like they were emotionally invested right from the start,
which is great. But so Dylan Cousins hit Nick Cousins by the bench. Then you have the Greenway on Stützle. But I do feel that if Tkachuk doesn't fight Greenway, it's just like, hey, good hit, and the other team moves on. There's not a power play. There's not a power play goal. There may not be this emphasis on, hey, they were physical, and they push back Ottawa trying to be physical. Dennis Gilbert gets into it with Tkachuk after Tkachuk was running around, trying to catch everybody. I think that was a really good response, and I think we've seen that Buffalo has more physicality in their game now. After 13 games this year, there's plenty of nights that were like, hey, look, they were physical. They hit. They stood tall in front of an opponent.
I'm sorry. My memory is not remembering a lot of nights in the first 12 where they were super physical.
Oh, mine is. Mine is. Okay. Absolutely. I think they were. And it's not like last night. Like the physicality last night was on another level because of the buy-in, the emotional engagement into the game. And because Ottawa pushed back too, because Ottawa had that edge to their game, especially with Brady Tkachuk. So it was there. But I think that I look at the, Krebs, Mellenstein, and Lafferty, and even before that, whatever construction of the fourth line was going, there has been some physicality in the game. There's been some Dahlin physicality in the game. There's been other parts of the physicality that we want to see. So I think the 4 points that you make are valid, is that any one of them could be sustainable. Any one of them could drop off at some point. I think the one that is probably the most sustainable, the way I see it, is your top line producing. Because the way I look at it is, if these three guys stay healthy, they all bring such an edge to the game that your top line continue to produce the way that they have been when put together, when playing together, really, to me, is what I look forward to see more. And I think it's very sustainable.
Okay. Well, I mean, that's obviously, depending on how you look at it, they're all reasonably critical. I think, you know, the top line scoring and star goaltending would headline the list, and then, you know, the other two would just fall where they may. I think it's important to emphasize the top line, knowing full well that, you know, you're going into MSG next. And, you know, when you get matchups, and more importantly, the depth of the Rangers is obviously based on recent annual success. It's more established, more pronounced than the depth scoring of the Sabres at this point in time, right? So then that,
and they're making
ultimately
changes
puts
to their lines right now in New York, as I'm seeing like this morning, is that, well, Zibanejad and Panarin look like they're going to play together, which was mostly Trocheck and Panarin. And now, so they're tweaking too. Like every team tweaks, and that's the thing. But the, you know, and Peterka hadn't scored in five games. And then he gets two goals last night. And I think that, okay, well, there was some experimentation with the lines that Lindy Ruff's has done over the last three games. And, you know, maybe that affected JJ Peterka, but there was a familiarity of, oh, Peterka, Thompson, Tuck that really shined in the game, especially from the first period. It was a big, big, obvious point, I thought, that set the tone to the game.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's the an interesting part of it is Peterka's success came on the power play, but based on, you know, the early returns, if you will, the line at 5-on-5 looked like it was poised to have a major impact on the game. It's a bonus, and, you know, maybe what's more sustainable should have included the fifth option of special teams, but you're probably going to win 65% of your games, at least, if you had replication of the power play and penalty kill numbers like last night.
Yeah. Oh,
like you're going to be any elite team in the NHL. The problem is, like, it's the first multi power play goal game they've had this year, and it married nicely with a perfect night on the penalty kill against a team that had produced but hasn't recently produced on the power play. So it all lined up. And that's the thing. Like, we heard from a lot of people. We talked about a lot of the things that went right on the postgame last night. I'm just trying to project it forward and see how, you know, how this continues. And a wrinkle in all of this is the obvious adjustment that will happen to the roster in the form of Samuelson and Joakim Harju, right? Wow. Like, they're not going to sit out for 20 games. We know that.
Unless you go 20-0, unless you have the run that the Predators had.
You know,
last
they won't.
Time
and, like, they won't. They're probably back in tomorrow.
Oh, I don't know about that.
Both of them? They're big money guys, Marty. I can't imagine them not being back in the lineup.
No, and I totally get that. But the message from Lindy Ruff was, here, the standard hasn't been good enough. And now you present that challenge to the roster, and you say to Clifton, who draws back in and played well, and you say to Bryson, who stays in for second game in a row and was really good, and Gilbert, who did the job that you asked him to do, now you are going to pull that out, even though the standard was met above and beyond what you asked, I think, in the game yesterday. I don't see Lindy Ruff doing that in game 13 of the season.
Okay. Or game 14. So how long do they stay out then?
I think we may look at Saturday as, okay, the welcoming back. And who knows what happens
in Gilbert against his former club, you're going to take him out?
Yeah, maybe. I'm not looking at it. I'm just saying, I'm going day by day, game by game here. I'm not telling Joakim Harju or Samuelson, you'll be back Thursday, you'll be back Saturday. I'm saying, We got to see. We got to see how the club responds. We need wins. Before last night, it was 4-7-1. Now you're 5-7-1. You're still nowhere near where you want to be.
Right.
You know, if you had a 5-game cushion and you were 5 games over 500, then you were like, hey, that was a Jack Quinn. You're out of the lineup, but you're going back the next one. Mm-hmm. It's a different thing. But, you know, what I wrote on my sheet of paper this morning is Bryson a top four defenseman? Because he played like one yesterday. That's what I was asking myself. I'm like, okay, like you talk about offense from the defense.
Mm-hmm.
If you had Dahlin, Power, Byram, and Bryson, what you're getting out of those is skateability, offense, puck movement, transition. Like Bryson, every time he had the puck or he was coming back to get the puck, he was first on it. He turned up. He was on the attack. Like, I asked myself, like, is he a top four defenseman in the way that the roster was put together last night? The answer is yes, because Gilbert and Clifton would be your 5 and 6.
Clifton makes more than twice the money of Bryson.
Yeah, but it's not about the money. I
think it is in perception and career length and games played.
But at the end of the day,
I'm not disagreeing. Like Bryson was clearly slotted in the top four last night. But if you're taking an outside view on canvassing for trade value and or whatever, Bryson doesn't have Clifton's perceived value at this point in time, right?
No, and not Yoki Aryu and not Samuelson's value. But you're only as good as your last game. That's the thing. Yeah. You're only as good as your last game and you'll only be as good as your next. And right now, the way that I saw the defense shape up, even though they gave up 38, you know, in a maybe third period score effect, even though everybody on Buffalo says, hey, we played the third period we wanted to. Mm-hmm. Perfect.
I agree. Fine. I thought the third was fine.
I thought they were fine. The shot clock is the shot clock. Giving up 35, 38 shots in the game is not something crazy. Giving up 46, 47 is really high, but giving up, you know, mid 30s, that's fine. You played your game. You created. That's what it was. But I thought the defense was solid in all aspects of the game.
Okay. So assuming no change based on your commentary and what they've just shown at practice here today. I'll just let the topic slide because you're only focused on the next game. So I'll only be focused on the next game. Maybe this gets way juicier by the next Sabres Live after the matinee games on Saturday and Monday.
Yeah. So next week, Tuesday, maybe it gets juicier because all of a sudden we're looking at 3 games and we're looking at.
Well, no, what if it's a 4-game win streak with the same combos?
Yeah, you're right.
Then the Dreger mill is going to be spinning.
Not the Shayna mill, but the Dreger mill. As we
Shayna's not as,
but Shayna may have some fun. Like, okay, so we're gonna have Shayna on Friday, and it will be interesting to me to say, okay, let's look at maybe after the Rangers game, how the defense played in now these 2 games and see what the options are on the back end. She may have a very interesting look to that. And I think she always brings some really, really good data to back it up.
Did you think Byram had a case of the Owen Powers in his post-game media address last night that the maybe wasn't 100% full health? He sounded a little...
Well, there was Dylan Cousins in the pregame, too.
No, Dylan's been sounding like that for 3 years now.
Is he really?
I notice it every single time he speaks. No, I'm like,
why
does this young man sound like so advanced in his age?
You know, if he had spent too much time with Rob Ray, that means he would have had too many cigars, and then the voice is becoming really raspy. Yeah. But yeah, you know, Byram is interesting to me because...
Super interesting. Since the day they got him.
Yeah, very much so. Because you have to understand how Bo Byram plays the game, and you have to be okay with that. And I think that it came a point in Colorado where maybe they weren't going to trust it as much as they once had, right? And they maybe saw Cale Makar do his thing and Devontae's do his thing, and they're like, you know what? A guy like Bo Byram, we are not trusting it 100%. But if you buy into what Bo Byram is doing, he is not going to stick to structure. Very, very few times is he going to stick to the structure. Other than I'm going to to take what Lindy Ruff said. We want to make this a four-man attack. We want just not just three forwards going. We want a D to join. We want a four-man, a five-man cohesive group in the offensive zone where everybody's moving, everybody's switching, and we all read with one another. We create chaos. Bo Byram is, I'm in. I'm that guy. I'll create chaos. I'll create chaos everywhere. Defensive zone, offensive zone, neutral zone. I'll create chaos everywhere. And when it's on, it's really on. And when everybody gets a chance to now play with him more and more, I think you are better prepared for what a guy like Bo Byram can do. And that pass by McLeod is a perfect example. Like, how often would you make a pass from the half wall to the other half wall across three sticks or whatever to another defenseman? Usually your defenseman would be more at the blue line. They wouldn't slide in that much, or you wouldn't look for it as much. But I think that with Byram and with Dalene, you can look for those guys to make those plays.
It should be with power, too.
Yeah, it should be with power,
too. And probably Bryson, based on what you described in his up and down, meaning geographical space covered last night. I don't know. I think this, quite frankly, should be how they play.
Yes, it should be until, you know, you try to force things a little too much. Like that McLeod pass was fantastic. If it gets stopped halfway and all of a sudden it's a quick transition the other way, you got Byram that's committed, you got three forwards on low. But I think that now brings the next step. How do you buy into the back check? How do you buy into working hard all the way to your zone? There was a couple of moments last night where I was writing down on my sheet, back check, back check, back check. Like, it really frustrated Ottawa. Ottawa's got a good offense. Ottawa's got really, really solid top two lines and guys that have performed really well. Well, back check, back check, back check really, really stifled that a few times in the game.
I should have asked in advance, and I'm sorry I didn't.
Sam
I
Reinhardt.
Was otherwise occupied.
I'm just going to answer the question with Sam, because it's been the answer for a lot of the questions before.
No. This is me not pushing forth a creative agenda with producer Jeff.
Oh.
But based on how the two of us were blindsided and unable to discern anything that Ryan McLeod said upon being handed the vest in the room last night, I was hoping that producer Jeff would have found the video, put in the subtitles, and made it very clear for the entire audience to know, because I'm still sitting here X amount of hours later having no clue why that happened. Like, what did Dalene say to, like, I get it. McLeod had the unbelievable super sauce pass to Byram, and he ended up with two assists on the night. But I'm fascinated sometimes, like, where the leadership group, like, sees the great value, sees the performer that they want to bestow with the vest in a night when there was an awful lot of good last night, right? Like, were you surprised that McLeod got the attention?
I was surprised because I did not, I'm going to do a Patrick Roy. I could not heard what Rasmus Dalene said.
Don't make fun of not being able to hear, okay?
But I wasn't sure when we played the clip in the post game. Dalene is presenting the vest and he's walking over. I fully anticipated that vest to be presented to Bo Byram or Ukko-Pekka.
I thought it was going to Greenway. Automatic.
Or maybe Greenway too. Like, okay,
because of that side of the room and whatever. I just thought it was going to Greenway for sure.
Yeah, and then it's McLeod, and McLeod, in this perfect gibberish, said something and said, let's keep it going. And that's all I got. I got the let's keep it going part. But it was very surprising. And again, maybe, and I remember being in the locker room and having these feelings that sometimes media would ask you questions and you're like, why are they talking about this? Like, that's not the feel we get in the locker room. Mm-hmm. Right. So, And vice versa. Why are they not talking about McLeod more? Because in the locker room, it clearly felt like that pass to Byram, his line, the play of that line, what they put together was something that they felt was a big, big factor in winning. When you look at the forwards line yesterday for the Buffalo Sabres, when the Tage Thompson line was together on the ice, in 7 minutes of ice time at 5-on-5, where all three of them are on the ice, shot attempts were 20-7 for the Thompson line. They were dominant in the game. But you know what else? When McLeod's line and Greenway and Zucker were on the ice for over 10 minutes of time, all three of them together, the shot attempts were 10 to 5. They only gave up 5 shot attempts to the other team,
to
Ottawa.
Do you have who they were matched up mostly with?
I can give it to you here. Sabres opposition.
In short order. I will say this. While you look up that, and obviously one of the...
They were matched up with Tkachuk, Greg, and Stützle most in the game.
Like how much?
Like 7.5 minutes, 7 minutes of time out of their 10
minutes.
That's
a pretty good chunk, yeah.
And they only gave up 5 shot attempts
yeah.
to that group. Like, that is probably the value seen inside the locker room on how McLeod, Greenway, and Zucker
agreed.
Played and had an impact on the game.
Yeah, agreed. I mean, I think I felt like Josh Norris generated more of the offense last night at times for Ottawa.
The Cousins, Gaudette, and McEwen line, which has been like,
yeah.
Gaudette had scored, 6 goals in 5 games?
Mm-hmm.
And coming into
and
last
McEwen
night,
had scored 3 lifetime in 6 games against Buffalo, and I think narrowly missed one chance. So
yeah, they were the line that produced the most shot attempt for with
right.
12. Wow. In the game. So,
well, I will say this one. And if you did miss the post game last night, this is kind of something that obviously most of us here's the beauty of being on Sabres Live as often as we are. There's pretty much nothing we haven't talked about. So we can always go back at some point, especially coming out of the summer, and say, we remember when we talked about this, and it was, you know, the what will ultimately be the numbers offensively from this Sabres defense core, and like, will 3 guys get over 40 points this year, and how will that change the look? So we've been tracking this obviously from the start, and last night we noted that after the 2-goal game from Byram, they're up to 9 goals from the blue line. That is 3rd in the NHL after all the games were said and done last night. Only Winnipeg with 11 and Seattle with 10 are ahead of Buffalo's 9 goals by defense. And the one thing that I wasn't gonna, you know, trying to look at in real time last night, was waiting for the dust to settle, is overall points by the defense. And right now, Buffalo has 32 points from their defense core, which is 6th best in the NHL, only 2 points behind 3rd ranked Tampa. So again, to emphasize, you know, going back to an original question, what's more sustainable, top line scoring, offense from the defense, star goaltending, like, you know where I'm kind of looking at here. Like, I think beyond the top line, some nights it's going to be very hard for Buffalo to get the offense they're hoping for.
Yeah.
Unless most nights you can expect that the defense is going to offset what you don't get from the forwards. And I think that might be the most important, because it's not always going to be Byram scoring 2 goals. We've seen, like, Bo has now tied Owen for the team lead in goals by defensemen, right?
Yeah,
but for the most part, Owen's been the most consistent offensive performer. And it's kind of ridiculous to me that we didn't mention Dahlin. But Dahlin certainly had a pretty... He had 2 assists last night.
So 7 goals out of the 9 are power Byram Dahlin. And Dahlin only has the 1 goal.
Yes.
And when you look at the scoring by defensemen around the NHL this year, there's only 5 defensemen that have more goals individually than Power and Byram.
Mm-hmm.
They're Kale McCarr, who has 5. Morgan Rielly, Shane Gostisbehere, Brendan Montour, and Rasmus Andersson sit at 4.
Yeah.
So when you have 2 guys that are tied for 6th in goal scoring by defensemen, that's a feather in your map.
Yeah. And I honestly, I think moving forward, it'll probably more naturally enter the conversation as we discuss nights like, hey, how about Buffalo's secondary scoring tonight? Like, I'm more willing to look at the defense as a line, so to speak. And if I see the defense outscoring the 3rd line or the 4th line with regularity, cool, fine. Like, adapt, change, accept, make it a part of your DNA. And I think that's what, you know, there were so many aspects last night that reminded you of what it can be, and in the eyes of the coach, what it should be and needs to be. And that's why he was as passionate as he was in his post-game address to the team in the room which of course is available on Sabres social channels and what we saw last night on MSG. Quick time out here. Mentioned obviously the upcoming schedule. It's the Rangers tomorrow, then home for two games, Saturday and Monday. Both are afternoon games, including a 12:30 start on Monday. And we really look forward to seeing you there for this one. It's our military appreciation game. The Habs are in. It's 12:30 puck drop. Help us honor our active and retired service members. And you can visit sabres.com/tickets to purchase yours today. We're back after this. Lots to get to from around the NHL. And of course, your input on X at Sabres Live on what happened last night and what's to come in the days ahead.
Want to teach your kids financial literacy, but not sure where to start? Greenlight can help. With Greenlight, parents can keep an eye on kids' spending and saving, while kids and teens use a card of their own to build money confidence. As a parent, you can send instant money transfers, set up chores, automate allowance, and more. It's a convenient way to run your household, customized to your family's needs, and the easy way to raise financially smart kids. Get started with Greenlight today and get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you, and also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com. It's
better over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to four lines via virtual prepaid card. Allowed 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
We're back with more of Sabres Live, presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
That's a hell of a game. That's the type of game you want to play. Starting with Greener. Hell of a job by Greener. Yeah. Hey. PK and power play. Hell of a night. Oh. You out of the power play. Oopie, a lot of great saves for us. Team identity. Let's keep that.
This one can go to many guys, but today it's going to McDavid. McLeod.
Good game, boys. Did you beat the play-in?
Okay, so I get the McDavid, McLeod.
Yes, I got that for the first time today.
But again, my limitations right now prevent me from going any further with that. Did you manage to run Google Translate as we ran that clip, Marty, as what we welcome you back on Sabres Live?
No, the only thing I can think of is, have you ever seen the Robin Williams doing the Irish guy?
Yes.
Like at a bar or inventing golf?
Yes.
How it's gibberish and you can't understand what he's saying? Or
pretty sure it was Scottish, not Irish.
Scottish, you're right, Scottish. That's
don't take
what
away golf from the Scots.
Yes.
Whatever you do.
It's not Irish. Irish, they got their beer. The Scottish have the golf. So, but Robin Williams speaking Scottish is more clear than Ryan McLeod accepting the vest last night.
100%. Good. Okay. Well, now that we haven't settled that, let's move on. Holy cow. My narrative continues to take a pounding.
The home team just winning yesterday.
Jesus. 591 now for home teams this year, down to 505 for road. Is it possible we see road teams dip below 500 at some point in this world of NHL play? I have to say,
home ice advantage is huge right now.
Especially now with
huge.
The Sharks, you know, like the Sharks are more stable.
Sharky.
Well, I say that if they didn't have Vitek Vanacek last night, they would have got blown out of the water. I mean, holy cow.
But the Canadians should have won at home, and they give up a goal late. The Canadians should have won at home. Oh, they were up 2-1. They gave up a goal late to Coronado, and then the Flames win in overtime right off the draw. You know how face-offs matter? The Canadians actually win the draw, but Suzuki loses his stick, and Coronado gets the puck and then goes in and scores. Like, that's really like how sometimes possession after the face-off matters more than where the puck goes. That's one thing. The Islanders came back to beat Pittsburgh as well, which was
St. Louis big. Had a big win overcoming just an
was
nightmares.
Weird. So it was very weird how it happened, because Dylan Holloway took a shot high in the chest neck area. Mm-hmm. He played the whole shift, had a chance at the other end, came back in his zone, and came back to the bench, like kind of shaking his head, like, that doesn't feel that great. Then he sat on the bench, and then it started not to feel good. And the trainer is holding his head, and they're like, hey, there's something going on. We have to be careful. Yeah. So they brought on the stretcher onto the bench. They stretchered him off, took him to the hospital. Mm-hmm. The minute and a half that was left in the first period was put into the second period. Yeah. And word was he was, you know, all good. They were doing some tests and everything. Reminded me a lot, not in the same situation, but the Montreal Canadiens.
Trent McCleary?
Yeah, McCleary. He actually got a slap shot in the throat, in the Adam's apple, and cracked his larynx or something, where they had to do basically cut open his neck in the locker room and put a breathing tube because he couldn't breathe on his own. Like, that's what I thought. When I saw the puck hitting the Holloway in the chest last night and in the neck, I thought, was he not able to breathe anymore? Was it very, very serious? Luckily, it didn't turn out to be too serious, but they were very, careful with it, and it was a scary moment.
Yeah, and there's a lot of, there's never enough time to get into all of it. I suppose that's the beauty of, social and internet, whatever is, you kind of read it at your own leisure. Yeah. But like, there are so many significant injuries right now, big names, and whether they're long term, short term, unknown at this point in time, poor Colorado. They've had such an up and down start, and we were just reiterating what they've been reiterating, which is they felt like they were getting healthy and bodies coming back. And then all of a sudden, Makar, who along with MacKinnon are riding 13 game point streaks, unable to continue in the third period last night. And, that was at a night when Arturi Lehkonen came back, immediately scored. They're hopeful of seeing Nichushkin in the lineup within a week. And, and Drouin and all the rest of it.
Rantanen, his first goal in 9 games, Duffer. Mikko Rantanen, first goal in 9 games.
Yeah, Joe Sakic was actually interviewed on their post-game show last night. Oh, no, as was the coach. And it was actually, it was Jared Bednar who was, I sensed a real tone in his comment on it. Like, it's his best game in a while kind of thing, right? And obviously this is a huge year for Rantanen. He came flying out of the blocks with MacKinnon and Makar, and is projected to be that next $11-12 million a year player, and rightfully so based on his career marks to date. But it was big for him. Oh, did you see the Parker Kelly shift?
No, I did not see the Parker Kelly shift.
If I said to you, Gregory Campbell.
Yeah, like blocking shots and getting hurt and breaking something and still blocking shots.
Late in the game.
Oh, Seattle, I didn't notice him, but I noticed. Yeah, right before the goal.
Five.
Yes.
Five out of this world blocks, all on one shift, only to have the puck go in after last one.
Yeah, it ended up... who scored on that one?
They immediately then turned around and got the empty netter.
Matty Beniers had the deflection to make it 4-3, make it tight. And then they had an empty netter. And then Kovalenko scored on a really nice pass by Casey Milstead, by the way, the replay of that.
With no time left. That was kind of weird.
It was 2 seconds left. It's a garbage time goal. But okay. I know that, just to help our audience kind of see what's happening around the league. Like, everybody... Sabres won. It was great. 5-1. They beat Ottawa. I think Buffalo is a much better team than their record. 5-7-1 right now. Ottawa 6-6. I think Ottawa has had some hot moment, cold moment, hot moment, cold moment. So that will be interesting to see, like, those two teams battling it out throughout the year in the Atlantic Division. But there was a goalie interference challenge over the weekend on Sunday, where Tampa plowed over Connor Hellebuck and the goal still counted. And I was like, there's no way that goal should have counted. Connor Hellebuck got plowed over by Connor Geeky and was it Morgan Geeky? It's a Tampa Bay Geeky anyway. There's two of them, but it got plowed over and they counted it after challenge. It was deemed that there was no goaltender interference because the puck was in the crease and the rebound and loose puck rule was in effect. So the goal counted. Last night, we got Tage Thompson. He gets pushed by the defenseman over the goaltender, Linus Ullmark, and then he ends up scoring the goal because the puck hits him in the shoulder. But that was challenged. And I'm thinking, I looked at you and I said, that's a good goal. If they allowed the Brendan Hagel goal on Sunday against the Jets, they're going to allow that. Like, it was obvious and that was fine. But last night we had two offside challenges that were both, like, if you look at them at first, you're like, that's offside. There's not going to be a goal. And then it turns out that both were declared onside and both were good goals after a long, long, long video review being challenged. So Colorado had one of them where they actually announce there's no goal on the play because the play was offside, just to have the players and the linesmen and the referees talk about it a little bit more. There was some confusion as to where the faceoff maybe was going to be. And then they're about to drop the puck and you get a buzzer. The referees go back to the penalty box, put the headset back on. And then they're like, wait a second. We didn't notice that it was Seattle that brought the puck back into their own zone.
Yeah, well, they fired it from the offensive zone and it rimmed all the way around. Yeah, they didn't like bring it back, but yes. Yeah.
But the definition of the possession was Seattle bringing the puck back into their zone. So they can't be offside on the play because it's not Colorado bringing.
Yeah, like Rantanen could have been behind the Seattle net at that point.
He could have been there the whole time.
And if the puck got rimmed around and came to him, it would have been fair. Yeah.
It would have been fair. But it was, if somehow the puck had been dropped and play had resumed, and all of a sudden the league realized, wait a second, like it took them a good 30 seconds after the original decision to come back and buzz back down and say, wait a minute, we've noticed something we hadn't paid attention to.
Yeah.
Like that was one that, remember the Dahlin play at the blue line a couple of years back where the league apologized because on the post game, you and I were talking about, wait a second, he was onside before touching the puck and it was deemed offside on the play. And they said, we made a mistake. Sorry. Yeah. It was almost like that last night.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's becoming like many sports, the more you watch, the more you see different wrinkles and every single night, right? Like, and that's kind of, you know, part and parcel with the review process and then the evolution of the review process. And it was a bizarre play for sure. Colorado was victorious in part because of that. The Amerks, by the way, are in action tonight.
Yes.
And this is a good little newsworthy update. They've won four in a row. They're at Cleveland tonight. We talked yesterday about Jiří Kulik getting reassigned to Rochester after Zach Benson was activated. Well, Jiří steps in right away on the top line for the Amerks tonight. And Kisikov comes in as well. It'll be his first game. The downside to all of this is the fact that Noah Ostlund missed the last two games. He is out week to week with an upper body injury. And the previously red-hot Tyson Kozak is out day-to-day with a lower body injury. So that's what opens up the spot on the top line where Kozak had been playing. And, you know, Yuri's going to slide right into that position. And Kisikov will get his first look, which is really not a reflection of him at all to wait this long. It's just we knew this team was going to be crazy deep. Yeah. With top-end picks and veteran signings, and they have proven to be that. So we'll see what they can do against Cleveland, you know, tonight before finally coming back home on Friday.
And for Jiří Kulik, when you look at it, okay, go play top line, top power play, get, you know, put up some numbers, get a feel, because, I mean, we're going to continue to talk about What's happening with the Dylan Cousins, Jack Quinn, and last night was Zach Benson line? They didn't really create much. And, you know, that's, I'm not expecting Benson to come in and change the dynamic of the line and creation of offense, but Cousins and Quinn are still struggling to create. So, you know, we could obviously see some movements at some point if Kulik is going to get back his confidence and produce at the AHL level. We could see him back in the lineup at some point. So yeah, this is not a demotion. That's just an opportunity for Yuri to get some playing time and be ready for when the call comes back up.
And just from the Kisikov standpoint, he's likely to slide in with Yops and Murray. So that's actually a really comfortable spot for him to come in and play with two veterans in this third, I think, matchup with Cleveland already this year. Might even be more than that. They've had their fill. Sandstrom expected to start in goal for the Amerks tonight. Quick break. Come back with a little bit more from around the NHL. And yeah, a happy birthday greeting next on Sabres Live.
We're back with more of Sabres Live. Presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
Marty, based on recent spontaneous trivia questions, I'll ask you, who is celebrating their 29th birthday today?
Not me.
Sam Reinhart, the potential Rocket.
I should have known.
The potential Rocket, Ross, and Hart winner this year. We'll see how it all plays out for Sam. Have you ever been injured in warm-up, and how did Jalen Chatfield avoid serious injury after this mishap in Carolina last night?
Never been really injured in warm-up. I've taken a shot high or two, but this is incredible. At the end of warm-up, he always does the same thing where he stands across the ice, sprints to the door, stops and snows the trainers and everything. Well, unfortunately, his stop needed a little bit of an execution upgrade because he toe-picked and went face first, body first, into the wall. Did not look good, but he was okay. Played, everything was fine. But
played 19 minutes in a 6-4 win. So
that looked like it hurt like hell. Oh
my gosh. So bad. Honestly, it's more scary than anything else. I look at it, it's just like, oh, so jarring.
It's a surprising moment when you're like, oh, what's this guy doing? Oh, that is like he just went into the wall.
All right. McDavid's back tonight. Shocker.
Looks like it, which is crazy. Crazy to think he was going to miss 10 games, miss 3 weeks. He's missed 3 games a week and 2 days, and he's back.
Will Barry Trotz have reignited the rebuild by the time we hit the air tomorrow?
Can you imagine? You
Predators are at Washington tonight, and they're tied for last.
Crazy. No rebuild in Nashville.
See you tomorrow.
Want to teach your kids financial literacy, but not sure where to start? Greenlight can help. With Greenlight, parents can keep an eye on kids' spending and saving, while kids and teens use a card of their own to build money confidence. As a parent, you can send instant money transfers, set up chores, automate allowance, and more. It's a convenient way to run your household, customized to your family's needs, and the easy way to raise financially smart kids. Get started with Greenlight today and get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at newbalance.com.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com. It's
better over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at tmobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.